Welcome to the Servants of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Our podcast exists to provide trustworthy expository messages through the Bible and faithful answers to your theology questions. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Servants of Grace Theology segment. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And on today's episode, one of our listeners writes in, and they have a great question. And the question is, what is the relationship between the grace of God and prayer? Now, the scriptures everywhere assure believers that God hears the prayers of his people, like in Genesis 16:11, Exodus 2:24, and Psalm 4:3. The remarkable truth about prayer is that God desires to give his grace and his Holy Spirit to us when we depend on him through this means. Prayer is a means of grace through which the Spirit works in our lives. And since God has promised to give us an open ear, prayer should be a top priority for the Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. So for this reason, every generation needs to be challenged to make prayer a priority in their lives. Now, when we speak of the means of grace, it's important to make a distinction between the narrow means of grace as what God gives us through the Word and the sacrament and the broader means of grace through the act of praying. This distinction is important so that we keep in perspective that prayer is our response to the grace that we receive from God's Word. This does not lessen the call for Christians to pray, since God gives his grace to those who pray. So when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to teach them to pray, Jesus answered, "When you pray, pray this way." The Lord expressed that prayer should be a normal discipline in the Christian life. The great need for Christians in our day is to recover this conviction and the motivation to pray. Now, the scripture calls us to pray for many different reasons. In 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10, Paul encouraged the Corinthians in Corinth to pray by using his own example as an example of suffering. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh that caused suffering in his life. We're not told what that thorn was, but that Paul wanted the Corinthians to think about their dependence on the Lord. A thorn could be anything that takes away our human strength, cancer, conflict, pain, loss, all that and even more. As Paul cried out three times for deliverance, Jesus answered Paul by saying in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Yes, Paul received actual grace from the Lord through prayer. So in his weakness, the grace of Christ rested on him and he received strength. Prayer is also a means to conform us to the image of Christ and to build his people up as his servants. So the ongoing presence of sin in the believer's life attacks this purpose. This is why prayer is so necessary for the Christian in our growth in grace. Surely there is, you know, some listener or one of you who are watching at this moment who are discouraged and even deeply struggling with personal sin. This can be one of the most confusing experiences for the Christian. If Christ's resurrection power rests on us, why are we so often defeated by ongoing sin in our lives? Well, Paul describes this struggle to us in Romans 7. And yet in Romans 8, Paul reminds us that Christians share the privileges as adopted children to cry, "Abba, Father." And as we do, we're promised the help of the Spirit who first puts sin to death in our lives in Romans 8:13. Second, bears witness with our spirits that we are sons of God in Romans 8:16. And three, helps us with our weakness as he intercedes for us in prayer in Romans 8:26 and 27. These wonderful promises are concluded with an assurance of God's predestinating purpose to conform us into the image of Christ in Romans 8:29. These are remarkable helps that the Heavenly Father gives to us through the work of the Holy Spirit as we depend on him in prayer. That the benefits of grace and the Holy Spirit are actually given to us through this means of prayer is the reason the Heidelberg Catechism, which divides its questions according to 52 Sunday school schedules to guide pastors in preaching through the catechism in a year, devotes an entire Lord's Day worth of reflection to encourage Christians to pray in Heidelberg 1:16. Why do Christians pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. So in our struggle with sin, God invites us to come to him in prayer, and he answers by giving us his Spirit, who is actively sanctifying us. Prayer is the critical avenue through which the Lord works this conformity so that we more and more begin to look like Jesus. So while private prayer is a necessity in the Christian life for our growth in grace, there's another avenue of prayer that God has given to help Christians. Jesus specifically spoke of his Father's house as a house of prayer. See, one of the great tragedies in American Christianity today is the death of the pastoral prayer, prayer by the minister on behalf of the people during the Lord's Day worship. For hundreds of years, Protestant churches made corporate prayer an essential element of worship. Today, this prayer has been replaced with more time devoted to music. Little attention is given in corporate worship to prayer. So there is something spiritually beneficial for God's people when they gather for corporate worship that is not acquired anywhere else. The Lord has promised to meet with his people in a special way. This is why prayer is an important element in corporate worship. Just as personal Bible reading does not replace receiving the means of grace in the preached word of God, personal prayer does not replace the blessing of corporate Sunday prayer. When the minister prays, he is speaking on behalf of the people as an ambassador of Christ. With one voice, the people's hearts are united together as our prayers ascend to the throne of God. J.C. Ryle is correct that few pray in daily life think of the help that God gives us when we gather together for prayer. In public worship, we quiet ourselves from the busyness of life and join our hearts in prayer as we are led by God's appointed servant. The biblically qualified male pastor leads us in proper praise, in confession of sin, in the advancement of God's kingdom, in thanksgiving for the good gifts of God, and in specific needs of the church. God is ready to hear the prayers of his people through his servant. Corporate prayer is one of the most edifying blessings of worship, and so if our churches are to have a greater effectiveness in gospel ministry, there will be a place of prominence given to pastoral prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges that God has given to believers in Christ. Prayer is a means for you to enjoy your God as you were created to do. Maybe we don't pray as we should because we have not learned to enjoy God in prayer as we should. Talk with your God. He desires for you to enjoy communion with him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." The Lord listens to your prayers more certainly than you desire the thing you pray for. What a gracious God who has offered himself to you in the gospel of his Son. Whatever your praise, whatever your burden, take it to the Lord in prayer and wait on the Lord, for he is the Lord our God who accepts our prayer, according to Psalm 6:9. So let's talk more about what Scripture teaches about prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray continually." James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray." Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So praying because we're supposed to isn't always good enough to motivate us. But the truth is that prayer is much more than a rule. Let's talk about this. First, let's consider the prayer makes us more like Jesus. If we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he prayed with others in Luke 9:28, for others in Matthew 19:13 through 14, and on his own in Luke 5:6 and Luke 6:12. Prayer was a fundamental part of how Jesus approached each day with every decision, retreating faithfully to spend time with his Father. So prayer was clearly important to Jesus. It was his lifeline and his connection to his Heavenly Father. It equipped him for the battles he was about to face. It kept alive the intimate relationship that sustained him and revealed to him God's desire and God's direction. So if the goal of a Christian is to become more like Jesus, that process must include imitating Jesus' actions and living out his word. And as we pray, we will become more like Jesus, and we'll find that prayer changes us. Second, prayer shows us the heart of God. When Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, he prayed for those who would believe in him in John 17:21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Prayer helps us become one with the Father and have the kind of relationship Jesus had with himself. The Bible is filled with stories illustrating God's desire to have an intimate relationship with his people, and any close relationship involves communication. So when two people have no contact with each other, their relationship is never going to advance. And since prayer is quite simply a conversation with God, it is how we get to know the Lord. So when we come into his presence, all pretense is gone. There's no longer anything to hide because he sees all, he knows all. Prayer humbles us because as we spend time with the Lord, we realize how powerful and able and good God is and how much we need the Lord. And yet God accepts us as we are, not because he wants us to stay that way, but because he knows that the relationship comes first. And so as we grow to love the Lord, we will want to become more like the Lord. And so when we find forgiveness through prayer, God softens our hearts and allows us to forgive others. And when we experience God's compassion and God's mercy, we're going to share that grace and mercy with others. See, when we understand that God's grace is freely given, we recognize that no one is any more or less deserving of God's love than we are. And it transforms our hearts and our actions, helping us reveal God's generous love to others. Third, prayer reveals the wisdom of God. The best part about prayer is that it's a conversation that goes both directions. Yes, we're going to talk to God, but when we spend time with him and are willing to receive what he said in his word, we're also going to hear from him. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Jesus prayed all night before selecting the 12 apostles in Luke 6:12-16. And he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane to try to ascertain the will of God regarding what God was asking him to do. His time in prayer helped align his will with that of the Father, just as our time with God will do for us. After getting in touch with the heart of God and realizing how much he loves us, we're going to learn to trust the Lord and value his insight and his guidance. And as we spend time talking to God, he aligns our will with his, changing the way we experience a situation and even respond to problems. Sometimes we miss his answers because, well, let's be honest, we're not listening or we're expecting a different answer, so we don't recognize it when it comes. And other times the answer comes through reading the Bible or talking with others. But God is going to answer. His wisdom far exceeds our own because he sees farther and loves deeper and has his sights set on eternity with those he loves, not just gratification in the immediate moment. There is no one else who can see and know what God does, and he delights to share his wisdom with us in prayer. Let's talk about five benefits of prayer, talking first about how prayer changes our focus. It's easy to get caught up in the circumstances going on around us, whether those are good or bad, and yet prayer directs our focus away from here on earth to God in heaven. Second, prayer brings us close to God. You see, because prayer is communicating with God, it helps us to build our relationship with the Lord. It's one of the many ways that we can get to know the Lord better. Third, prayer ushers us into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, people needed priests or prophets to talk to God for them. But when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two, opening the way for us to talk to God ourselves, as revealed in the Word, because we have a high priest who truly cares for us and longs to hear from us in prayer. Fourth, prayer helps calm us. The world is full of things that can bring anxiety in our lives, and prayer can restore our peace. Fifth, prayer brings about change. The familiar phrase, prayer changes things, is true. Sometimes the things that change are circumstances, while other times we are the thing that prayer changes. Well, I want to thank you for listening or watching today's episode of the Servants of Grace Theology segment. Until next week, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Servants of Grace podcast today. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or by searching Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this podcast on the front page of our website at servantsofgrace.org.